The Fearless Podcast, in a time of deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act.
All right, y'all. Welcome back to the Fearless Podcast. We are at episode 70, and that is not Matt. That is Faith, and she's co-hosting today.
Yes.
And Matt's busy doing all his things. And it's good to have Faith on tonight. And tonight, I want to introduce y'all to the Keene family. Hello, Keene family. Welcome to the Fearless Podcast. How y'all doing?
Great. Thanks, TD. Thanks,
Faith. Warm.
Yes. Little warm. And our generator is kind of spotty, so we might lose you momentarily.
But, Well, yeah, if you drop off, we'll hang out for y'all. And since we are recording this, I can edit out any dead air and we'll make it work.
Okay.
So I was listening to Scott Armstrong's Rebunked. He's got a podcast and a show, and he's also a co-host on the Grand Theft World podcast. And I saw this Keene family, and I heard about what y'all are going through and what's going on. And I was like, wow, this is kind of like a serious issue. I said, these people look a lot like us, and they're kind of doing a lot of the same things that we're doing. And then as I listened to your story and I heard that you kind of relocated and moved to kind of grow your own food, and you had never done that before. And I'm like, yeah, they're a lot like us. So I wanted to have y'all on, and I was hoping, if y'all don't mind, if we could kind of start with your, homesteading genesis, so to speak, of like, I know y'all were like living in Florida and whatnot, and you decided to move to Tennessee. So maybe you could kind of walk us through that.
Sure. Absolutely. Well, I actually was in the grocery business. So I was on the other side of the coin. I was selling the groceries, selling the food, but not actually producing it myself. And I was running the family business and was working, you know, large amounts of time away from home. And my son and my kids, we have seven children, we're all growing up. And my son was already like 6 years old. And I'm like, a third of his life is gone before a blink of an eye. And so I need to do something where we can work from home. Where, a third of his life with us. Yes, I'm sorry. And hopefully 18 years, you know, so a third of his life at home with us. Had already gone by. So we were, I was thinking, you know, I want to do something where I can be with my children, my wife during the day more. And the only thing that came to our mind was an agrarian lifestyle. And so we
started watching videos of people like you guys, what you're putting out, you know, and we got really excited about, you know, God was growing our family by leaps and bounds. We had seven children in 8 years. You know, I had never even babysat before. I was a new Christian, and you know, we're looking around us, and we're living in like a zero lot line community in Florida, and you can spit on your neighbor, you know, and it just wasn't conducive. There weren't a lot of conservative folks around us, and
a lot of fiscal conservatives, but not know, morally conservative and faith conservative.
I'm still looking for these fiscal conservatives. I keep asking the question, where are all these fiscal conservatives? Because I heard a lot of talk about that, but I haven't seen any demonstration of that. So about what year was that when you all started thinking about doing the homestead?
We prayed for 5 years.
Yeah.
So as I started having all these little babies, you know, and God, you know, just changed my heart about that. And I never even thought about having children. And prior to getting saved, I mean, we didn't get married until I was almost 31 years old. So I was 29 when I got saved, got married at 30, right before 31. We got pregnant, you know, 3 months later, and then again, 3 months after that one, and then again, 3 months after that one. And so, pick it up, babe. All right,
so
that's all I've got.
So we were looking praying. And we were looking for watching videos on how to live an agrarian lifestyle, move to the country.
We were watching this cool, I don't know if you guys have ever heard of them, Mike and Debbie Pearl. They have a great book called Created to Be as Helpmeet. I read that book 7 times in a year, just to rethink things. But and so they were always putting out pictures of dads working with their kids. And where we were, there was no such thing as that. You know, it just wasn't even on. I mean, he was working retail. So and just seeing those photos of dads doing hard things with their little kids and their toddlers. And I thought, you know, Father, I want that for my boy, you know? And so we started praying and we were praying constantly and everything like is often with the Lord. It just kept getting worse and worse and worse. The housing market flipped upside down. So our home was worth nothing. More than half of our neighborhood foreclosed. But the Lord, so for 5 years we prayed and it just kept getting worse and worse and worse. And then in 60 days, God sold everything that we had for cash and we had to get out in 72 hours.
Yeah, pretty much. And so we went on the road looking for our farm. To make a long story shorter, it actually took us 3 months. What was it, 89 days?
We were on the road for 89 days in the winter, the dead of winter.
Yeah.
With 6 kids.
All
number
under the
seven
age
was
of
in
eight,
my belly.
I think, yeah, eight and under. Yeah. And so that was a trial, but that was a good thing.
Yeah. We started off in Tennessee. Then we went to Arkansas, Missouri. We almost bought 50 acres in Missouri. And then the Lord, one of his cousins passed away. And we ended up having to go back to Tennessee right before we
signed a deal
on that 50 acres. And somebody had said this little thing to us before we left Florida. She said, Satan drives Jesus
leads. So if you feel like you're rushed to make a decision, it's probably not of the Lord. Just, you know, pause a moment and seek the Lord more. And
so we decided to head to Tennessee and forget about putting that, offer on the 50 acres. And as we're driving to Tennessee, we both were thinking, man, Lord, I thought for sure you'd move us to Tennessee. You know, why Missouri? It seems kind of weird. We don't know anybody. We've never even been there before. And as we were driving, a realtor called us and said, hey, I've got this property I want you to come look at. And it's in Tennessee. And we had put out a fleece without realizing it. When we were in Florida, we asked the Lord to give us a neighbor that would allow us to use their property for free, like we had done when we were in Florida, because we had some acreage in Florida that we let somebody use for free. Well, when we came to look at this property, the two of the original property holders met us here. They wanted to see the six, the family of seven at the time that was thinking about buying the property.
We were six at the time.
Were we?
We had six when we met them. And they said, if you buy this place, Judson, you can do anything you want with my property. You just can't sell it.
And I was like, oh, Judd, remember? Yeah. We asked for that. Yeah. And so we knew that this was the property. I mean, it didn't have a house. It was like a forest. We moved into a forest.
A jungle.
Yes. And then so we parked our camper, our 40-foot, $5,000 camper.
Actually, I think it was a 39-foot from the hitch to the back. It was a very small tin can.
What year was that thing built?
Oh, I don't know. It was an old one. I bought it.
It was 1998 camper. So yeah, $5,000 camper. That's what we bought for ourselves for our 10th wedding anniversary.
Yeah.
And so it parked where it got stuck in the mud, out in the blazing sun, not a tree in sight, and we lived in that thing for 4.5 years while we built our house.
Wow.
Yeah. And that's why we look so tired. It's been great. A little hard.
So what year was it when you moved?
2014. We moved to Tennessee in 2014. And
that's the same year we moved.
Yeah.
Really? Where did y'all move from?
The Northeast. So we were in the tri-state area, near Philly.
Yeah. So, I don't want to hijack their story with our story, but we do have a lot of cross paths there too. Yeah, that is really
2014
neat. Yeah.
Was our Texas. Yeah.
Yeah. And we had to get out in a hurry too, but we had other reasons to get out in a hurry. But yeah, so, so you built your homestead, you built your house. Is this the story?
That was one of the blessings, you know, kind of a hidden blessing. Well, not really that hidden. We it was intentional that we came up here to work with my children every day.
And the oldest at the time was 8.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had 2 in diapers, and the oldest was 8.
My son was 8, and so the whole family built this house. My wife helped me push every piece of Advantech up from sawhorses. I pulled it to the second
3
floor.
3 stories.
Then we took it to the 3rd floor, and it was by hands, by our own hands, that
what
we built this
house.
What
are those beam things called?
Oh, the I-beams and the I-joists.
We lifted every I-beam and all the... Yeah.
So we did it. One of the things we were trying to do is live cash only. So we try to build it
debt free.
And so that's always a trial because you don't have all the money you need and you don't have all the time you need. You try to work and build at the same time.
When you've got money, you don't have time. When you have time, you don't have money.
Yeah. So it's a give and take.
Yeah.
And, so that was the greatest homeschool our children ever had, was the, you know, learning how to do everything on the farm, from milking cows to taking care of goats, chickens, to geese.
We didn't even have a tractor. So we had 30 acres, no tractor. We had a 1997
lawnmower. It was a riding lawnmower.
You know,
the riding lawnmower. Yeah.
And the front of it even fell off. Yeah. There's all these pictures.
So, yeah.
It didn't even have a hood. But we tamed this place.
Yeah, God trained us through this place, through our trials. He actually brought character to our children and to ourselves that we didn't have before. And we definitely know and appreciate the gifts that he gives us.
And the struggle, what it's like to struggle and be hot and sweaty. And
when a whole family gets sick, like the stomach flu, in a tin can.
Which, you know, we got approximately
we don't need to go there,
20 times in 2 years.
Because you're in such...
My kids were so adept at stomach flu that they could go to sleep, go to bed, and Jed built... what are those things that go in the water?
Submarine
bedding for the kids. So they were like stacked like sardines on top of each other. Mm-hmm. And they could go to sleep with their pot.
Yeah.
Wake up, throw up, and go back to sleep. Yeah. It was so sad. Hey, your struggles. You're a mom. You get it. Like, that's
real. Wow.
So, yeah, trial by fire. We've been in the fire before. Yes. So we
and
know.
Now we see God's wisdom in it, because it's like, you want to take our power? Whatever.
We want power. Don't get us wrong. We enjoy power, especially when it's consistent. Yes. But
we could have never done this 10 years ago.
No.
I would have flipped out.
Yeah. Most people from the city, we were from the city originally, you know, you might be in a hurricane and out of power for a week. Maybe, you know, maybe a week and a half. No, but typically you have power by then. We're going on how many days now?
I stopped counting.
I'm sorry. July 8th is when they disconnected
July
our power.
8th, yeah.
And what is it today? The 31st, August 31st. So,
yeah,
it's been a long time.
Yes.
Yes. So summertime. It's been a summertime. Yes.
But God is good, and he has provided for us. I mean, miraculously.
We've had a lot of people that we don't even know that helped us out. We have a good some friends that set up a Give Send Go page, and that has
we went from only being able to run our generators like 6 hours a day to now we can run it. Yeah. We run it pretty much all day. We have to turn it off at night. So we turned it off at 9.
Yeah. Well, we definitely turn off at night, but it does go off during the day, some still.
Yes.
Yeah, but.
But it's a lot better. Yeah. A whole lot better.
Yeah, the generosity is just, it blows us away.
Yes.
We have, we get to read these notes that people send with their gifts.
And encouraging us, you know, stay strong. And you kind of think you're by yourself, you know, like people don't understand. People don't get it. You know, what's wrong? I don't get what's the problem with radiation, you know, and yet we see the outpouring and a lot of people do get it.
They do.
A lot of people do understand. It's just that we're kind of in pockets and maybe not everybody's communicating well, but it's more and more people are coming to understand, hey, you know, we ought to be able to choose. If there's any potential for harm, there has to be options. People have to be able to choose.
And not only that, it's the bigger issue is the privacy, the surveillance. Yeah. When they realize that everyone in America that has a smart meter, which is probably 90% of the population, they're being constantly surveilled 24/7. And they don't even know it. They think they're just getting that power company's just getting a little usage data from them, like maybe once a day or once a month.
Like it's innocuous. It's not
a big deal. It's not.
It's not at all. And a lot of times people don't even realize they've got these smart meters on their homes. They have no clue. They don't realize that smart meter.
Yeah, let's pause and let's explain for those that aren't up to speed on your current scenario. What are you talking about? You're running off a generator. You started talking about smart meters. So what happened? Why do you not have power?
Okay. So we don't have power right now because we would not consent to take a smart meter. Christy saw the power company putting on a smart meter on our neighbor's farm, and the neighbor wasn't even there. And so she went over and asked them what they were doing. She obviously quickly ascertained what they were doing and said, well, we don't want a smart meter. And they're like, well, you take a smart meter or they cut your power off. And she's like, well, we don't want a smart meter. So they said, we'll tell our bosses you said so. And they did not come that day to put the smart meter on ours. But they
2 days later
sent a letter. 2 days later, we got a letter in the mail that said, from Junior Breeden, our District 4 manager for Meriwether Lewis Electric Cooperative. He stated in that letter, we had three options. We could take a smart meter. We could take another type of smart meter on a pole away from the house. But all of these same health issues, RF, radiation, the fire hazard that it is, and the surveillance that it's doing would still be present.
It's only right outside my kid's bedroom window.
Right. It's not that far away.
It's like 40 feet away.
And so that was option two. Option three was have your power disconnected. So
terminated.
They
use that word all the time. Terminated.
So we have no power because they came out a month later and they showed up unannounced on our property and said, you either have to sign the letter or we're cutting your power off.
They gave us 30 days to respond. And if we didn't respond, we were accepting the smart meter.
Yeah. Through acquiescence. Okay. We're accepting.
Through acquiescence. They get you in these tacit agreements. So they say, look, you know, you signed up for this, even though they never divulged that they would be doing anything to your house, changing any, technology. They didn't divulge to you what the potential for harm may be. They didn't tell you that your smart meter puts off a radio frequency that's like a blast of microwave radiation every 2 to 3 seconds that's blasting your family. They didn't tell you, that they're taking your information, that they're selling it to others who brag about the fact that they're going to make tons of money off of your data,
information. They'll make more money off of the data than off of the commodity, the utility itself.
But because you didn't, they don't divulge anything. And since you didn't know, you had no informed consent. So you didn't even know to speak up. You didn't even know that this was an issue. People don't realize that their headaches are from the smart meter on the wall outside. They don't realize that they're losing their memory because of the smart meter. They don't realize that they're getting diseases like MS and Alzheimer's and ADD, ADHD. They don't realize that their children are being radiated so that potentially they won't have children of their own. That's one of the biggest things we all, I think those of us who are kind of more aware realize that, fertility is absolutely under attack. Mm-hmm. And this is it's a huge deal. You think about that meter on your house has to communicate to another device blocks away, miles away. I mean, think about the level of radiation that is emitted from something like that. And they're going to say, oh, well, you've got a cell phone, you know, you use your cell phone. Well, no, actually, we don't. We don't. We did. We used to. Yeah. I mean, why do we even know about this issue? You know, we all moved into that camper. I'm sorry, Faith, did you want to say something?
Oh, I was just going to say, so this happened in July of this year.
July 8th, they came.
Well, was the final thing. We didn't mention that we did have a meeting.
Right, that's what I was going to say. We got the letter June 4th, and we set up an appointment. In the letter, they also said you can schedule an appointment and come in and we'll answer your questions for you and we can discuss it. So we did. We set up an appointment with Junior Breeden's office. All nine of us went into his office and we brought documentation, lots of documentation on the health effects and the fire hazards and the
constitutional.
The constitutionality.
It's absolutely
breach and violation of a lot of rights.
Totally violates like three constitutional rights right off the bat, you know.
And so we displayed all the evidence before him and he said, there's nothing I can do.
I'm just doing my job.
And so that's what
Brown shirt said, just doing her job.
Say that again.
That's what the brown shirt said.
That's right.
And World War II.
Yeah, we mentioned that.
Yeah. We did mention that to him, saying, you know, well, that's the same argument that others have taken at Nuremberg, and it didn't work out so well.
And you could say that you were ignorant before, but we have now submitted to you all the documentation, so you're no longer ignorant, so you're willfully harming the people, right. And that will come back. It's not going any, yeah. You know, it's not just going to disappear, like this isn't taking place. This is happening, and it's being recorded. We're very carefully documenting this situation.
Absolutely.
And it's going to come back to those who think that they can.
There's no plausible deniability. Ignorance is not an excuse when it comes to the law. And there is a difference between law and legal. And I want to make sure that your viewers understand that lawful is what it goes back to the constitutions. That those are the supreme law of the land, the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of your state. Your state is actually superior to the Constitution of the United States because the states are sovereign. The states are more powerful. And that's not the way we're taught in American schools. That's not the way we're raised up. A lot of people, still have this belief that, oh, we can't do anything. In fact, I had a neighbor call me and he says, I hear a generator. What's going on? And this was like week number one. And I'm like, yeah, well, we decided not to take the smart meter and they cut our power off. They terminated our power. So we're on generator right now. And he said, wow, how long are you going to do that for? And I'm like, as long as we have to. I said, we're not going to take, we cannot consent to a smart meter when we know all of the things that are wrong with it and that will subject our family to harm. And to us, to unconstitutional surveillance and intrusion and violations of our rights. We can't accept that. We will not accept that. He's like, and I said, well, I'm going to take it all the way to the Supreme Court if I have to. And he says, well, good luck with you. I like my air conditioning. And that was the end of it.
Yeah.
The compassion.
Yeah.
And just, you know, we all like our air conditioning. Yeah. I mean, we don't want to suffer. We don't want to sweat. You know, it's just... we also don't want to look like hypocrites to our own kids. No. They know that we know. And right. So the, you know, power company is trying to get us to partner with them to destroy our own family. Right. We're not going to partner with them to hurt our kids.
Yeah. And you have had health concerns from the power and all of that kind of stuff. So can you go into some of that for us too?
From the moment, pretty much the moment we moved here. So to add to, you know, complication to kind of the lifestyle that we were choosing, I mean,
Before you do that, let me just reiterate. When we moved up here, they were just installing round one of the digital smart meter, not the RF smart meters, but the digital smart meters. We were not the wiser at the time. We had no idea that they were harmful. And so what they ended up installing on our pole was a digital smart meter that did not have the RF component. And so
And RF, for some people, don't even know what RF is.
Okay, so RF is radio frequencies. So the meters of today, they have built-in wireless communications, not only to communicate back to the utility company, but they have Zigbee and Z-Wave transmitters and antennas built into them as well that can communicate with all of your appliances as well and with the smart devices in your home. So,
and your phone.
Yeah. And so it's just, if you ever, we've told this to people before, you just read a manual to a, like a television. If you have a smart TV, read the manual. Just look at it. We were shocked when we saw, I think it was a Samsung manual that stated, don't have any private conversations
in your living room,
because,
or where, whatever room your TV is in, because you are being recorded. It actually said that in the manual.
Yeah.
Yeah. But so, yes, yeah, so when we moved here within 3 months, I'm sorry, Faith. I apologize. No,
go ahead. Yeah.
Okay. When we moved here, so approximately 3 months later, you know, just like clockwork, I was pregnant. And so we were, you know, I had that baby for what, about 3 months?
Yeah. Eva?
So about 3 months, miscarriage. Now we saw the baby. The baby was fine, you know, like perfectly formed and everything. We had an ultrasound, and so the baby was fine, and it died. Then approximately 9 months later, we had miscarriage number two. The last miscarriage that we've had seven miscarriages since moving here, and the last one was at COVID. And that one, the one right before it, you know, we were already into the second trimester. These babies were perfectly formed. There was nothing wrong with them whatsoever. So through that process, and we all got Lyme disease. And I know you guys are free thinkers. You know, I have my own theories about Lyme disease. We all got Lyme disease. Okay. And nine people all suddenly got bit by a Lyme tick at the same time in the same house. I mean, it's a miracle how that happens, right? In my opinion, you know, it's something different. But anyway, so we all had Lyme disease, very severe. I almost died. My organs were shutting down. I had a heart attack. I started getting heart palpitations, like really, really bad heart palpitations. My kids went from being perfectly healthy their whole lives to just weird problems. How we told you that we got the stomach flu so many times.
Yeah.
So the flu never existed prior to the electrification of the United States of America, or the electrification of the world. And there's a great book. I know you guys are readers. It's called The Invisible Rainbow, The History of Electricity and Life. The Invisible Rainbow. It's fabulous, and it really explains it and goes like through the history of, you know, things like the flu, like the Spanish flu, and what was the real cause of the Spanish flu. Anyway, so we were all, you know, very, very ill while we were doing all of these things, learning how to grow our own food, raising animals for the first time, and that kind of stuff. Well, it took us years. Really, we tried everything.
And build a house at the same time.
And we were building a house. We went to functional doctors, spent thousands of dollars, and never anything other than another supplement. So, I mean, at one point I was taking like 25 supplements or something.
It looked like a pharmacy on
the shelf. It was ridiculous. I mean, at least it wasn't pharmaceuticals. But it was really a process of us just constantly begging God for answers. And he let us go through this whole ordeal because it's all right there. And it's all there. Like, it's just solid in them. Okay. They understand now that it really all boils back down to microwave radiation. We didn't know it, but we were radiating ourselves with cell phones, Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, you know, two cell phones in a tin can, wireless mouse, wireless computers, you know, all of that stuff. And that all ties back into the smart meter. So we have eliminated all of the RF from our own personal lives. And in so doing, just overnight. You know, as an example, my oldest son, Abram, he had a, when we moved here, you know, shortly after, within the first year, he got this rash on his feet. And he was just a kid. He's like 8 years old. You know, we thought, oh, it's muck boots. He never wore muck boots before, you know. 7 years he had that rash. Now we are all organic, grow our own food, eat nothing but whole foods, you know. I mean, there's no, we don't need a bunch of sugar or anything like that. And for 7 years, we tried 100 different things trying to get rid of this rash on his feet. It would ooze like this, you know, white pus out of his, the tops of his feet, the bottoms of his feet. The poor child was just miserable. Okay.
In agony. Yeah.
Within how long? A week?
Yeah,
a week of just getting rid of all of the radiation in our house, it gone. It's gone. It just disappeared.
Wow.
And
the flu symptoms, your viewers need to go and look at the symptoms for radiation sickness or for the symptoms are the same.
Acute radiation sickness, and match that with COVID, Lyme disease, all of the, you know, no-name diseases of today. Just look up acute radiation sickness. And it's very interesting.
They overlap. And so much so that we actually, my son and I are studying to become building biologists because I'm in tech. That's what I do. I do technology, networking and computer systems, MSP work for small and medium-sized businesses. And so for years, I've been around technology. I understand the technology, and I unfortunately exposed my children and my wife to technology that has harmed them. So now I am switching gears and I am trying to provide safe technology to people so that they can live with technology the best we can, but safely.
People don't like to hear it. Your viewers probably won't like to hear it either, because we don't want to, you know, hear that our phone is bad. You know, we didn't want to either.
Sure.
Yeah.
But, you know, we've seen it with our own eyes, like night and day, the difference. I mean, I haven't been pregnant again since we stopped using. I mean, I'm 51 now. So the last time I was pregnant, I was 45, you know. And so we haven't been, you know, right?
No.
Oh, no, I wasn't.
Yeah,
no.
You were 47.
Oh, I was like 47. I'm sorry. 47, 48, something like that. And so, you know, that's probably maybe over for me. But I'll tell you that so since we moved here, my cycles were so weird, so messed up. My daughter's same thing. You know, it's like, what gives? So since we got rid of that stuff, everything's back to normal. Everything's back to normal.
Well, it's even more back to normal since they've cut the power.
So I had one straggler, one daughter who was still having issues until Meriwether Lewis took their stupid meter. And then, boom, as soon as they terminated us, this issue, you know, a menstruation issue, you know, magically disappeared.
What does your county think about y'all being off grid? Because I know there's a lot of counties and municipalities that are kind of weird about that.
That's a benefit to Tennessee. There, our county, I can say, is one of the counties that is more lenient and open. There's not a lot of zoning and things like that. That's why we really like this area. Although they are trying to bring it and force it now, but it's been a bastion of freedom for a long time, and that's what we liked about it. Tennesseans are very, they're very strong people. They
independent, very, don't like to be told what to do.
Yeah, they're independent thinkers, and they will definitely stand up, and that's what we want them to do. We're seeing that. We're seeing a lot of support. Other Tennesseans are rallying behind us, and they are telling us, you know, keep up the fight. We want to support you guys in it.
And bringing their own stories. Like we tried, you know, and we didn't want the smart meter either. I mean, it's absolutely horrible that people are having this technology forced upon them. The thing is like, if that tech, you know, just stayed on that pole, But it doesn't. It doesn't stay on the pole. It goes everywhere. It's all out in the environment. Not only that, but what people don't realize is, you know, it creates dirty electricity. And that's what I was saying about my daughter, the last, you know, one that was having issues, that what was happening was the microsurge electrical pollution is what happens with smart meters. So will you explain?
So the smart meters, they're like computers. Anything, even your computer has a transformer in it that has to change the power from and convert and to change the power from AC power to DC power, so direct current. And in doing so, it chops up that current really quickly and makes it a single, you know, direct current. So in doing so, it adds a lot of frequencies other than the 60 hertz sine wave onto that electrical line that then enters your home. And those other electrical frequencies and voltages, those are what emanate throughout the house and then exit the house through your wiring, because most houses are built with Romex wiring and it's very leaky. And so it already has an electrical field and a magnetic field that's inherent with it. But it's
all Romex.
So Romex cabling is it's the flat cable that's plastic coated. It's got the wires are running in parallel right next to one another like this. And in between it is a ground. And the magnetic field is greater in that wiring than in the MC cable or metal cladded cable that commercial buildings have in it, because the wires inside of the commercial cable is twisted every 2 inches. And that twist of the wires actually cancels out the magnetic field. Or greatly reduces it, almost, you know, cancels it out. Whereas with Romex, that's not the case. There's a greater magnetic field with Romex, which is in 99% maybe of American homes today, as well as the electrical field with just a vinyl or plastic sheathing over the Romex, the electrical field escapes out of it. Whereas with
3 to 10 feet.
Into the room.
My brain, whenever I saw, I mean, because we built our house, so we've seen the wires, you know, and so you see the wires are in every room, wraps around the room, because everywhere there's an outlet, and then, you know, everywhere there's a switch, and so my brain just thought that the electricity was inside the plastic. I didn't realize that the electricity comes out 3 to 10 feet into the room, right. And so the power company, they're throwing dirty electricity backwards into your home. And that's exactly what it felt like, how he said that there's teeth on the, so instead of it being a smooth sine wave, there's actual jagged teeth on it. And I got to a point where I could not touch my computer without it biting me. And that's exactly what it felt like a bite right in my bone.
And that's not uncommon for people with EHS, electro hypersensitivity. Mm-hmm. That's, you know, they become more sensitive. We are all sensitive, but some people, about a third of the population, is more sensitive than others. It doesn't mean that the 2/3 that are not will not.
Like it's not harming them or something.
It will harm them, and they may find themselves in that same boat in the future.
I think also a lot of it is just that you don't realize it because you're in it every day, all the time. I never realized it either. So when you get away from it, right, it's kind of like you guys have changed your eating to the carnivore diet. Mm-hmm. You didn't realize how bad you felt before, mm-hmm, until you started feeling better. And then now you can look back and go, wow, that was horrible. I'm so glad we changed that. And that is exactly the same experience that we've had with RF. It's microwaves. You wouldn't stick your head in a microwave oven all day long and expect something good to happen, you know? And that's exactly the same frequency that the cell phones are.
Right. So the first thing that everybody's going to recommend is solar. So maybe you could explain why sure, you're not using solar.
Well, we just explained the dirty electricity. And one of the biggest contributors to dirty electricity is the inverter of a solar system. In fact, we had a small solar array that I installed like, I don't know, 2, maybe 3 years ago when that whole COVID thing was going down. And we were like, we need to have some backup power in case something goes out. And solar's the way to go, right? So I put in a very small solar array. And then we realized that the inverter puts out an enormous amount of dirty electricity. And so we had to discontinue that.
So we have meters in our home because he's studying to be a building biologist. We've learned so much. You know, you can find out what's going on in your own home by buying meters that meter the various electrical issues, right? And so for us, we have a dirty electricity meter. So when we plug in our solar, the dirty electricity goes off the charts. So we don't even know how high it really is because it can only read it so much. And that's not just us. And like I like to point out to people, you have to ask yourself, who pushes solar?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Do you trust those people? You know, I mean, we have to start thinking about, you know, who are we getting this information from? Yeah. And so, yeah.
It's propaganda.
It's propaganda. Yeah. It really is, because a solar will kill people fast.
But it's
the building
very
biology
true.
Recommends no, they don't, there is no safe solar.
Right. It's very true that, you know, solar, we've tried it, we know it, we can test it, and it's harmful. It does produce dirty electricity, and therefore, or microsurge electrical pollution is the scientific name for it. Therefore, we can't have solar. So that's why we're still on generator power at the moment. And we're still exploring other options. And I've looked at hydro, I've looked at a lot of other options. Those also require usually a battery bank with an inverter, and therefore the dirty electricity and the microsurge electrical pollution.
We are actively seeking other forms of power because we want to have power. We want to have independence. At the same time, we feel like that we have the right to have electricity from the power company that set themselves up as a monopoly in our state.
Our government set them up as a monopoly.
Okay.
Which is unconstitutional, and it goes against the Constitution in a lot of different ways, and that's why we're pushing it. But all we really want is an analog meter. We want an analog meter that is
safe. Electromechanical analog meter.
Right.
Electromechanical. People need to understand, because the power companies lie. Oh yeah, we'll give you an analog meter, no problem. And they go and they put a digital meter on your, which has all the, that's what made us sick.
Yeah.
So
an electromechanical analog meter is what we're asking for. The ones like from years ago, the one that you can still buy,
that lasted forever,
that would spin, you know, those were the ones that were safe. They had adequate surge protection. So your house wouldn't catch on fire. Over 5,000 homes simultaneously caught on fire in Stockton, California, back in 2015, I think it was. And how did that happen? Well, a dump truck hit a power line that caused a transmission line, a higher voltage transmission line, to fall into the lower voltage power lines, the distribution lines. And therefore, all of that high voltage surged the lines and entered everyone's home, because the smart meters do not have the same surge protection, adequate surge protection like the analog meters.
And
have.
Think about if an enemy of ours, mm-hmm. any enemy, fill in the blank, wanted to do away with, say, a whole neighborhood in California or a whole city in Hawaii, right? Hmm. And, you know, they wanted to, you know, say it's a forest fire, but all you see are the houses burned down and the forest is still sitting there uncharred. It's, you know, our enemies have access to us in ways that we don't realize with these smart meters.
Right. And are these enemies in the district of criminals, or are these like common enemies that,
well, some of them are
for you to fill in the blank.
Well, that district of criminals is actually, if you look at a Black's Law dictionary, that is what is defined as the United States. So on all of the forms and things that you are saying that you are a U.S. citizen, that's what you are. You're saying you are a citizen of the District of Criminals, District of Columbia. Yeah. I'm sorry. That is what the Black's Law Dictionary tells you.
These are our people.
And therefore held, you know,
these are our people here.
Camaraderie, like-minded.
Yes. So at some point in time, I'm sorry. Yeah.
Oh, that's okay. This isn't a new concept to our audience. I know a lot of people in our crowd in our circle, they're very familiar with the big Homestead Channel, Doug and Stacy. Stacy's been very open about that, at least for the last like 10 years or so, just talking about that's why they moved to their off-grid cabin, was because she was hypersensitive to the dirty electricity. And, you know, it's why they live the way that they live there. And there's another channel called Darcy Isabella, and she's in Florida now, but she relocated her large family because of her sensitivity to the electrical grid and all of the things. And when they were relocating, they had to really take all of that in consideration. And they still do a lot of really drastic things in their home to just
mitigate
all of that and try to cut it back. And she suffered horribly from that. So it's not at all a new concept. Curtis Stone, who has the big YouTube channel up in
British Columbia.
Yes. He has done a lot of things to like proof his house of, you know, all of the RFs and all of the things. And he's done a lot and been very outspoken about it too. So it's not a new concept. It might be a new concept to some people that are listening, and it's a really good thing to look into. Oh, your friend Billy in North Carolina did.
Yeah, Billy's done a lot of metering of the smart meter and cell phones, and I'll hook you up with Billy, because I'm sure he'd love to have you on his podcast to talk about this, because these are major issues. We're being microwaved to death, and yeah. And also the Internet of Things. You know, this whole smart meter is all about the Internet of Things, and it's just track and trace database. And
Billy's channel is Permaculture Farms.
Permapasture Farms.
Permapasture Farms. He's in North Carolina. But the other thing I was going to ask you, the question, so if you're living in Tennessee, and you said this is basically like a monopoly, this electric co-op, so there's not a whole lot of ways around it. There's not other
options
really out there. Okay.
We asked that question to Junior Breed, and we said, so he's telling us there's no other options. We either take the smart meter or we get our power terminated. And I said, is there another power company that we can purchase power from? No. Article 1, Section 22 of the state of Tennessee's constitution says there shall not be. Well, I'm going to read it because I want you to hear it. So let me go to it here. Section 22, that perpetuities and monopolies are contrary to the genus of a free state. And shall not be allowed. Right there, it shall not be allowed, and yet it is allowed, and that's an issue. That's unconstitutional, and therefore we're going to be asking the legislature, and we're going to be asking our government officials, where do you get the authority?
Yeah,
where do you get the authority to
institute
a monopoly and allow a monopoly to form and stay in place even after it's brought to your attention? And
we've all become kind of jaded, you know, because it's like, yeah, whatever. All right. It says that, whoop-de-doo. But we believe that it's because we've all been sort of, and we've all got a little bit of, you know, where people are coming to light a little bit about there's been a trick, you know, a sleight of hand, right? And so folks they're not operating within the proper jurisdiction. So we're getting tricked into their courts, their, you know, legalese, instead of what's lawful, what's constitutional, what is fundamental. But guess what? You know, the people are waking up, and the people are coming together. They're assembling together, and I'm not talking about the assembly, but you know, just the people are assembling together, and they're learning, and they're learning the law. They're learning that, you know what, we have all power, we have all authority, and you are a servant, and you need to get in line. This is a time of grace. This is a time of education. Okay, so let's just pretend like nobody knew any better. So now we are sending them notices and affidavits under sworn, you know, testimony that this is what, and it's all being documented. And so that later, you know, so that people have an opportunity to say, wow, I didn't realize that.
There are people in the government, in our legislatures, and in our federal government that actually have woken up to the same understanding. Look at Justice Gorsuch.
Yes.
Look at what he's doing right now.
Have you guys seen his book tour?
Have you seen? He wrote a book called Overruled. And he is going around the country making all kinds of...
He's proclaiming your rights for you. He's saying the people are sovereign.
The people
are, you know, we take orders from the people. So basically, if the people don't know our part, okay, and we're not giving orders, then they're just going, you know, crazy. Really and nilly. They're willy-nilly and just making stuff up, doing whatever they want.
So do you have any local traction from any local legislatures at all? Anybody that's in your corner, in your court? Like,
Not yet, because we haven't served them notice completely yet on any of this just yet. We are definitely about to do that. In fact, notices and affidavits will be going out probably within the next. We already sent some notices and affidavits out.
There's a bit of a process. So we've seen the process work. We've been kind of, you know, poking around in this stuff for a while. But now we feel like that the Lord, just in time when we needed it, you know, showed us, you know, how this, it's just a fundamental law. So it's a law that's been hidden from us. It's not taught. Even the lawyers don't know it. They're the only, courts in America that are taught, you know, it's also known as the common law. Is the Supreme Court. Okay. And they have been receiving notice from the people that we are now following. Okay. They have been receiving notice. Mr. Gorsuch has been receiving notice. I want you to make this announcement. The people are sovereign. If for some reason we're wrong and the people aren't sovereign, then you have 10 days to respond to us and show us in the Constitution where the people are not sovereign. If you don't, then you agree the people are sovereign. And the people are asking you, telling you, and commanding you to announce to the nation that the people are sovereign.
And in SEC versus Drakarski, that case, he came right out and said that in the court case. He said the people, the American people, are sovereign.
And we're actually seeing them do it.
Yes. You're actually, you
can, you're seeing them do it.
If you watch them, you will see the courts have flipped. They've taken away the sovereign immunity that the agencies and of government, Chevron. Whatever. Yeah. The Chevron deference and Chevron, they totally annihilated that and said that does not exist.
Now is the time to be watching the Supreme Court.
Anybody can sue any federal agency they want. Because they have no sovereign immunity. They never did. And they acknowledge it. They said, you had something. You didn't have it. You thought you had it. You didn't have it. And so.
Or something as simple as, you know, you're seeing now the legislators just announced a legislator, a young woman.
Bobart, I think out of Colorado, she came forward and said to the EPA in an administrative hearing, I think it was, she was speaking to the.
Wait, as you're saying this, think about all the harm the EPA has done in America. Think about all of the people, the farms, you know, harmed.
What about the gas?
Put out of business. I mean, the
restrictions.
And then now.
Yeah. So anyway, so she came out and she basically asked the director of the EPA, do you have constitutional authority to exist? And he says, what do you mean? Yeah.
What do you mean do I have constitutional authority to exist?
Are you saying we don't? Or are you at? And she's like, I'm now telling you, you've never been authorized by the Congress to even exist.
The EPA is nothing.
A $12 billion.
It's just there because they told you it was and we believed it.
Right.
It doesn't exist.
Oh, it exists in their mind, but it lawfully doesn't exist. Sure.
Yeah.
It doesn't, it has no foundation.
No bearing.
No.
And now you have actual, you know, legislators, you know, announcing that. Why? Because they've been told to.
Just like non-apportioned income tax.
Yes.
Yes.
I will say about that.
We all pay our taxes, yeah, I'm just proving a point.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think it's a bigger issue than just your family. Like, I'm hearing that, you know, this affects so many families, if not all families living in your area of Tennessee or all of Tennessee. I mean, when you have a monopoly on the electric availability and you're not giving people options, I mean, why couldn't you purchase your own? I mean, why couldn't they just say, you know, yeah, if you purchase your own analog electric meter and you install it, sure, we're not going to get notified when you lose power. But, you know, hey, if you want to live like cave people, go crazy. Like, why couldn't it just be that conversation at the electrical company? Why does it have to be, you know, their way or the highway? I mean, that's, I see you guys just being gritty and just what our country needs and just what the state of Tennessee needs to stand for the rights of just not your family, but a lot of families that maybe they did cave and maybe they just said, okay, you know, they just took the easy path. And they are suffering with their health, you know, I mean.
And also when it comes to bureaucratic tyranny, I think it's really important for all of us to stand together, because a lot of what happens is like, oh, yeah, listen to the kooky people. They say that their electric wires are harming them and it's psychosomatic or whatever. You know, there's lots of people will interpret this their own way to create their own normalcy bias to not have compassion. But until the state has been weaponized against you, or until some fictitious bureaucracy has been weaponized against you, you can't appreciate what families are going through that are being accosted. And it's, and I mean, in your scenario, it's so simple. An analog meter resolves. You have this, yeah, an ancient analog meter, and they can set it at your house, and then they don't get to mine all your data and do all these things,
but
the issue is resolved. Right. You're happy. You're going to pay them for the electricity you're generating. That, you know, this is just technocratic nonsense. It's just bullying us. This has everything to do with Agenda 2030 and the Internet of Things. It's just, this is all about tracking and tracing us and just selling our data, mining our data, and just, the loss of privacy. Privacy will no longer exist. And right after we lose all our privacy, we'll own nothing and we're supposed to be happy. And I mean, we won't even own our own privacy. And, you know, that's the intention here. And that's the end game. That's why it's very important to pay attention. Very important to resist this. And really it is. It's just education. It's, you know, once you know, you know. Once you're aware, I know in our area, we can opt for an analog meter. And I think we just have to pay like a $20 monthly fee. And the irony of that is that even though the analog meter costs more, the way that the power is read from an analog meter, your monthly bill ends up being less when you have this smart meter that's tracking all your peak hours. Mm-hmm. And what's going to happen very soon is your smart meter is going to turn off your air conditioning because they think you're keeping your house a little too cool. Yeah. And plebs. And, you know, we got to be like our friends at the CCP. And when the state regulates how warm or cold we're allowed to keep our house, they're just going to flip a switch and run the show. And that's another reason why it's a massive issue.
Yeah. Just common day events in Idaho recently, they had the water rights going on, right? Where the farmers had the water rights taken away from them. They couldn't do their,
couldn't irrigate
their crops. And the smart meters, they can detect the load signatures of the different appliances in your house, including your well pump. So if you have a well, they know how long that's been running for, when it kicks on, and basically how much water usage you have, and if you're using it. So what if they wanted to turn that off in the future? What if they said, yeah, you don't need that much water, or we can't,
you don't need to be irrigating your home garden.
You can't have, you can't irrigate your garden or your animals that, you know, you don't need that. You're only going to have 2 gallons of water a day and enough to shower and shave. you know, whatever.
Yeah, it's coming to a town near you. I mean, this isn't, you know, us. This is everybody. And, you know, to the people that don't understand it, you know, I think because I was watching your thing on the carnivore, you know, stuff, and that nice man, what was his name? Carrie, you know, and he was like, it's funny when people come to him and say, you know, are you getting your blood checked, you know, because he's eating just meat and surely that's got to be harmful. But when he was eating pizza and, you know, soda and whatever, nobody ever asked, you know, are you getting your blood checked, you know? Right. And so, you know, with the EMF stuff. So my challenge is this, you know, test it yourself. So turn it all off. Get yourself a meter, you know, see where your see where the microwave radiation in your home is coming from. All right. First of all, just look it up. What does microwave radiation do to the human body? And then, you know, get a meter, invest in your family, find out where it's coming from and turn it off. So just take a 72-hour sabbatical. Kind of like you said, anybody can do something for a week. You know, when you were talking about, hey, you want to try carnivore, you know, just try it. Just give it a week. All right. If it doesn't work, fine. It doesn't. But anybody can do, you can do anything for a week, you know. So give it a week. Turn it all off and see if you notice a huge significant change in the way you feel, in the way your children behave, in the way your children feel. See if you notice something. If you don't, fine. We're crazy, you know, but if you do, praise the Lord, you're wiser, because it's a huge problem. It's a very big deal. And it's one thing if we want to radiate ourselves with our own cell phone or whatever, you know, you can turn it off. So you decide you want to go to bed and you feel like, you know, that you want to sleep in peace, let your body recover, you know, but with that smart meter, that's 24/7. It never gets shut off. You have no control over it. You don't even know what's coming out of that thing.
And you don't know who they're selling it to. You don't know what data they're actually collecting. They aren't forthcoming with any of that stuff, but they'll tell you it's safe. And when you ask them where they get that from, they say, well, the manufacturer tells us it's safe. One of the gentlemen that came to turn off the power that day is arguing with my wife when she's like, no, we don't want the meter because it's unsafe. And one of the linemen were like, he didn't know. He's like, no, the manufacturer, you know, they're safe, man. They told us it's safe. Well,
safe and effective.
What's that?
Safe and effective.
Right. Safe and effective is what they'll claim. Exactly. But that's propaganda coming from the company that actually is selling them. Get a third party out there and let's do,
you know, let's test it. Let's look at it, you know, because it isn't.
No, sir.
Yes. And like with the fires, you know, I didn't realize this, but firemen, you know, when they go to a fire, they're not, by law, they're not allowed to touch those meters. And there have been firemen, whistleblowers who have stated that, that the power company sometimes beats the firemen to the fires and the meter disappears. So a fireman, even if he knows that the fire is coming from that meter box, he's not allowed by law to touch it. He can't unplug it. It could be sending off sparks of electricity everywhere. And even when I heard it, I thought, is that really true? You know, and I have a group on Telegram called Live Local Middle Tennessee. And I just put that out there. And a lady who's married to a fireman, she asked her husband, and her husband said, oh yeah, we're not allowed to touch him. You can't touch the meter. Why? He's a fireman. You know, why can't he touch the meter? Why can't he pull it out? You know, it just unplugs. Like, you know, like
you have to cut the
little seal.
But the actual meter itself, I mean, you're talking about a little wire, yeah. You know, you cut a little wire and then you unplug it. So why can't a fireman do that if that's presenting a problem in a fire?
Yeah, it's crazy.
So you mentioned Telegram. Is there, and I know I will put a link to your Give, Send, Go down below. Obviously, I think people can stay updated somewhat there. Is there any other means of communication or any other way that they can maybe track? Or is there any other type of call to action to help generate some traction for you? where could we direct people?
Well, unfortunately, we don't have it just yet, but we are working on a notice to be sent to our government officials and to our Supreme Court. And for others who want to, you know, join the fight, they want to tell the Supreme Court and the legislators and in their state and in the federal government, hey, where do you get the authority? Like I said earlier, show us where you got the authority to surveil us 24/7 when the Fourth Amendment says you're not allowed to do so in the federal constitution. And if someone wants to do that, very soon we'll have a jot form with a notice that we intend to send to those people. And all they'll have to do is electronically, they can sign it and send it all in about 15 seconds. After they read it, obviously they want to read it and know what they're signing, but it would make it very easy to be very.
And you can keep up to date with that on Live Local. So we have a group on Telegram called Live Local Middle Tennessee. And so we'll post updates about it there since we don't really have anything else up and going just yet. We've been so busy, but this is just it's a matter of freedom. Just like, you know, all others, if there's any possibility, I already said this, but if there's any possibility whatsoever of harm, the people have to have choice. That's the only rational answer, you know, and we can't allow corporations to make all the decisions for our families. You know, we're Americans. We have to, you know, stand up.
Well, if you want your freedoms, you have to fight for them. You have to be willing to take that stand. And we're talking about our freedoms here. We are supposed to have life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness here, right? That's what we're supposed to be able to enjoy. And yet that's not the case because we've abdicated that for way too long. We've been taught that we don't have any power. Your only power is to show up to vote every 4 years. And that's what most Americans think their power lies. But here,
and we did too,
but
it's not true.
In every state constitution, you need to, every person on there needs to read their own state constitution. But I'm going to read the very first section, Article 1, Section 1 of the Tennessee Constitution states that all power is inherent in the people. In who? In the people, in us. And all free governments are founded on their authority and instituted for their peace, safety, and happiness. If we're not happy because that meter is going against our, beliefs, either religious beliefs or against our health beliefs or anything else, it says against our peace, safety, and happiness, right? For the advancement of those ends, they have at all times an unalienable and indefeasible right to alter, reform, or abolish the government in such manner as they may think proper. And then, if I may, I would like to read also one more text, section two, the very next one of the Tennessee Constitution states that government being instituted for the common benefit, the doctrine of non-resistance against arbitrary power and oppression is absurd, slavish, and destructive of the good and happiness of mankind. That's what, right there, our forefathers in Tennessee said, if you don't resist it, it's slavish, it's absurd. It's you can't have a non-resistance attitude. You have to be able to say, we're going to resist. We're going to take this thing to the Supreme Court if we have to, because we're not going to allow anyone to continue to trample our rights in the United States of America. Our country has been subjected to far too much. And we the people, it's our responsibility. It's our duty. We have to stand up. We have to become educated. We have to read the state constitutions. We have to believe what we read and know that that is the truth. Don't listen to the TV. Read it for yourself. What is written? How did Jesus defeat Satan? He says, it is written.
It is written.
That's the exact same method that we're using here. What is written? So...
Well, that is awesome. So what we're going to do is we're going to put the link to the Give, Send, Go down below. And we'll also, if you could email us a link to that Telegram group, we'll put that both in the show notes. And this show will either get uploaded tonight or probably sometime tomorrow. And we'll shoot you those links back as well. But we We can really relate to y'all in many, many, many ways. And we greatly appreciate what you're doing. Many people, you know, this whole movement, the homesteading tsunami that Joel Salatin talks about, that we were all in that first wave. And I think that 2012, 2014 first wave, I think the response to that from the technocrats was 2020, right? And so there was an awakening of people being aware that we're being slowly poisoned by our entire food system. And so people wanted to take control of that. They became aware, they became educated, and they wanted to take control of that. And then the response by they, them, and those was 2020. And then we come through 2020, and then we're aware of other things like medical procedures and manipulating your genetics and all that other stuff. And now there's another wave of people requiring informed consent and wanting to be informed if they are being harmed or if something that is harmful, that they do not want to participate in that. Right. And this is right in line with all of that. It's something that we all need to be aware of. And certainly with this gigantic solar push and with the propaganda of, oh, if you want to be self-sustainable, you know, you're going to go green and you're going to have, you know, wind turbines and solar panels and all this stuff. And you're going to drive a Tesla and everything's going to be great. You're not driving a ticking time bomb that'll explode and incinerate you and all those things. But that's why this information is great. It's important. And thank you so much for taking your time and your literal precious energy that's being generated by the generator and spending it with us. And absolutely, as soon as there's an update, we would like to have y'all back on. Or once you have your next step, whether it's a website or ways to interact, we want to have you back on so that we can update everybody on that. But we want to support you, and we know that our folks want to support you. So we're looking forward to seeing what kind of impact we can generate and what kind of awareness we can generate. And thank y'all so much for coming on.
Yeah, you're very welcome. Thank you for having us. We appreciate it.
Thanks, Faith.
And just as a summary, as a wrap up, if you appreciate the information, go on over to thetexasboys.com to remind everyone we do have two cows for sale that will be late September, early October. And lastly, we have our in-person meetup this coming Saturday, September 7th at Bob Wells Nursery at Sorella's Farm from 10 to 12. It's going to be another potluck, and it's been fabulous. And with all that being said, remember, y'all, stay fearless, my friends.